You Take Yourself With You by Claire Yoser. November. Autumn's siren call marches us into winter. The final leaves fall. Chapter 1, Taking a Big Risk. Tonight I'm taking the biggest risk of my career. It could get me promoted or arrested for running a male brothel, and all in the name of market research. We're nearly ready, I say to Lucy as her nearly on maternity leave bump walks through the door several seconds before the rest of her. Are they all here? I'm asking about 10 women for tonight's focus group. It's the first one I've run without Lucy in the background. I know I can do it, but that doesn't stop me feeling nervous about going solo. I ignore the tightness in my stomach and try to drown out the thoughts about everything that could go wrong. It's all fine, Sophie, Lucy replies. You've done a great job. I've got complete faith in you. I'll just pop into the back room for a moment to check everything's ready in there. Then I'll head off home. I'm done in. I can't wait for my maternity leave to start. Only 2 more weeks. I smile politely. I'm not looking forward to Lucy leaving. She's my best friend as well as my boss. And the thoughts of a whole year without her to bounce ideas off fills me with a heavy emptiness. I don't want to think about how being a mum will change her, will change us. Right now, I have to concentrate on this evening first. It's my big chance to shine. I haven't told Lucy this, but tonight is my last-ditch attempt to impress Harry, the owner of our agency, so he'll change his mind and let me cover for Lucy while she's on maternity leave. Over the past few years, I've run focus groups on everything from cars to condoms, but this one is different. We've got something extra special planned. To get the client the answers they're looking for, so we know which direction to take in the ad campaign, we're pushing the boundaries of what we would normally do with our research, and I'm praying it's going to work, or I might be out of a job in the morning. The wine is chilled, the bowls are full of nibbles, the notepads and pens are on the table. The sound and video recording is all set up, and thank goodness the client isn't sitting on the other side of the one-way mirror for once. The last thing I want is to have helpful suggestions or spontaneous questions being passed into the room by a blushing intern every 10 minutes, destroying the flow and rapport. And I want to trial out tonight's approach without an invisible audience. I hate that feeling of being watched, analysed, second-guessed, even criticised by the faces I can't see behind the mirror. Lucy's been encouraging me to take on more responsibility, to get me ready for her maternity leave. Some guy called Stuart is going to cover for her, apparently, but Lucy wants me to get ready to step up to lead the team to be a planner like she is in an advertising agency. Her job is to do the research before we pitch for an advertising contract, and then to do more research and testing once we've got the contract and have had ad ideas. Ever thought those ad memes got into your brain by accident? Think again. It's a deeply scientific process, which then gets gloriously muddied by the artistic temperaments of the creatives who do the actual ad design, and then watered down by the I need my bonus fears of the marketing director of whichever client is investing millions in raising their brand awareness or flogging the latest hot idea to people who really don't know what they want and almost certainly don't need whatever they're being persuaded to buy. So tonight we're doing something new. It's either going to be a raging success and make our agency's name in the industry, or get me arrested. That's why I'm feeling nervous. I smooth out the non-existent wrinkles in my skirt with slightly clammy hands and check my reflection in the one-way mirror for the 20th time. The face smiling back at me looks confident and calm, proving that mirrors can and do lie. I check my watch. Time to get this show on the road. I dim the lighting and plump up the cushions, then invite the delegates in. In come our 10 lovely ladies, nervously choosing seats on the sofas, like a game of silent musical chairs. I ask them to help themselves to wine, soft drinks and nibbles. Hardly anyone ever chooses the soft drinks, and the first glass of wine is always gone quickly. Being in central London means no one's driving. We used to run our sessions in people's houses so everyone could feel at home. But these days, it's hard to find a home with a big enough lounge or kitchen to comfortably seat 11, plus the video and audio recording kit, with no kids bouncing or dogs barking. Lucy and I finally gave up on the idea when a host's children were discovered to have been eavesdropping on the stairs during a particularly sensitive focus group on feminine toys. And we only found out after they'd uploaded the whole thing to YouTube. I still have no idea how Harry, our agency owner, managed to hush that one up. When Harry told us we were moving offices, we insisted on having our own focus group space, and it's kitted out to look just like someone's home. There's no office furniture or strip lighting in sight. It's time for the warm-ups, explaining how the evening will work, making sure they know that anything they say is confidential, and that what they're shown is confidential too. Good. They've all signed their non-disclosure agreement forms. The recruiter, she's a gem, did all the initial checks on background, lifestyle, attitudes and stuff, and from the initial vibe of the group, she did well. They're a mixed group of early 30s women who look dissimilar, ranging from jeans and goth black hair to a designer suit with perfectly styled highlights that cost a week's rent, but they should all have common educational backgrounds and attitudes to life. Tonight's group is full of working professional women who are in a long-term relationship with a man, no children, and they're opinionated enough to give their man constructive feedback on his appearance, with an unspoken veto on his wardrobe choices. So it should be interesting. We do the usual introductions, breaking the ice, some fun stuff, getting everyone used to talking in front of the group, and I let them know there's no such thing as a stupid question or comment. That I want to hear all their thoughts on the stuff we're discussing, even if they disagree with what everyone else has been saying. They nod obligingly. The first glass of wine is working its magic already. Tonight's research is for a men's deodorant spray, I tell them. This is the first time they've heard this, and they look surprised. The token brave soul asks why the group is full of women. Great, I love it when they ask questions. It gives everyone else permission to speak. We're talking to women because our client has a theory that girlfriends and wives have more influence over the purchase decision for male deodorants than men do. They care more about how their men smell than the men. And no, they will never be told which brand this is for. But they might guess in about 3 months' time when the ads come out. We do the required brand awareness stuff with magazine and TV ads. We talk about how their partners smell, what's good, what's not. You really can't get icky here, yeah? It can be a bit awkward, but the wine keeps the conversation flowing. I need the detail, the words they use, the facial expressions, the body language. We do the classic sniff sheet test for different fragrances, the kind of things you find in glossy magazines that never quite represent the real smell and seem to linger forever. Everyone's polite and tipsy. We're making great progress through the evening's script. And I'm really nervous by now. It's the big moment. I wish I could run to the loo. But once I'm in the room and leading the research, I can't leave my post at all for the full 2 hours. It's one of the joys of this job, is a bladder of steel. Oh God, I've been talking to myself in my head and the room's gone silent. They're looking at me as though I'm supposed to be saying something. I am. Okay, deep breath. Here goes. I'm either going to make my career or... Okay, ladies, now I have a treat for you. If you'd like to look over towards the door in the back of the room, I hope you're going to enjoy what's coming your way. I'm praying Lucy got this sorted before she went home as I walk to the door and open it with what I hope is a sense of occasion. I feel 10 pairs of curious eyes on me, as though I'm unveiling an invisible plaque. In you come, boys! 4 drop-dead gorgeous male models enter the room, shirtless, looking like the stars of those iconic 1980s jeans adverts. 2 blondes with blue eyes, 2 with a decidedly Mediterranean flair. All with rippling abs betraying years of dedication in the gym and biceps that make you dream of them sweeping you off your feet. All 4 of them shuffle surprisingly uncomfortably under the scrutiny of these women turned teenagers. This clearly isn't the behaviour they're used to from photo shoots. The women gasp. And then giggle and grin. What do you want us to do with them? Asks the brave soul. Smell them, I announce. More giggles. Thank goodness they've been drinking. Here's the thing, I explain, having to talk more loudly because the women have started to whisper to each other. The models are looking self-conscious. I wish I had thought of putting on some background music, but that might have made it feel like a Chippendale performance. Fragrances smell different on real people compared with pieces of card, I explained to them. And our client really wants to know what you think, which you love and which turn you off. So these four gorgeous gentlemen are each wearing one of the fragrances the brand is considering releasing. We need to know what you think. Unbiased opinions. So I'd like you to take it in turns to experience the fragrances on each of the models. There's waves of embarrassed giggling. I feel my stomach churning. Mike in the office had volunteered to help with this, but his man bun and beer gut might have biased the results. It was hard to break that one to him, but he took it like a pro. As you know, this is market research. And we want to get your true response, not one biased by the visual appeal of these lovely gentlemen. The models shift awkwardly. I need to speed this up. So to make sure nobody accidentally chooses based on the model they find most attractive, you're all going to be blindfolded. I have to let them have their moment to giggle and talk as they get their heads around this. In the bags in front of you on the table, you'll each find a blindfold and a medal on a ribbon. In a moment, we'll move to the empty area at the back of the room and I'll ask you to put on your blindfold. I will guide you to where the models are standing and I want you to experience the fragrance on each of them in turn. It's up to you how you choose to do that, but please no touching. Eyebrows are nearly meeting hairlines as these 30-something professional women turn back into sniggering girls at a pop concert. I'm half waiting for one of them to scream with excitement. I secretly wonder how these models compare with their men back home. Once you've experienced all four fragrances, I'd like you to hang your medal around the neck of the model whose fragrance most appeals to you. Then we'll come back to the sofas to discuss which smell you preferred and why. Is everybody clear about what we're doing? Yes, nods, good, okay. I guide them through the process and, being the only sober and non-blindfolded woman in the room, I have to admit it's hilarious. The models are getting into the mood. The women keep bumping into each other with hands stretched out in front of them. There's a certain amount of tipsy flirting going on as the ladies hang the medal around the neck of their favourite fragrance. Please, no hugging the models or touching them, I have to remind them as things threaten to get out of hand. There's a minor moment of panic as multiple women try to hang medals on the same person at once and a bun fight risks breaking out, but I manage to calm them down. I can see this is working, but I've got a sense of urgency that we need to finish this and move back to talking before I lose control of the group and it turns into a hen night. I need to keep this professional. We'd been to so much effort to make this work. All the women had been told not to wear perfume or strong scents for the evening. Ditto for the models. We even gave the men unfragrant shower gels and shampoos to use before the event. One insisted on a very expensive moisturiser too, said he couldn't go on stage without it. We supplied them each with a pair of identical new jeans too, so there wouldn't be any laundry detergent or fabric conditioner to contaminate the results. Lucy even had to spray each model in a separate room, and then keep them in separate corners of the waiting room until they were ready so the fragrances wouldn't mix and confuse the results. But I have to confess that my favourite part of our preparations was looking through the online profiles at the modelling agency to choose the four most gorgeous men I could find for tonight. Talk about feeling like a kid at Christmas shopping in a Hamleys toy department with a blank cheque. I feel sorry for my favourite model. I've always had a soft spot for Italian types. By the end of the voting, he doesn't have a single medal. The blindfolds have worked. I take a moment to reassure him, though the dejected puppy look in his eyes has a certain appeal and makes me want to take him home. Mind back on the job. I'm in the process of removing one of the women's arms from around the neck of her favourite model as she pretends she's checking if her medal is there when the main door opens without warning. Everyone jumps, blindfolds off. What the hell is going on in here? Booms a confused and angry voice. Silence. Then giggles. Then silence again. Harry, the owner of our advertising agency and my big boss, wasn't supposed to be here. My stomach lurches into my shoes as I realise that promoted is now off the table and fired is looking the likely winner. I thought I'd pop behind the mirror to check everything was running smoothly before I went home, given it's your first time without Lucy, he half shouted. I did not expect to find you running an orgy outside, please, now, Sophie. Somehow I drown out the blind panic that threatens to make me vomit in front of the group, manage to claw back enough dignity to suggest they sit down and have some fizzy water, asking the models to get dressed and go home, but first to write down how many medals they each got. I'll be back in a minute, I tell the group. I know I might be lying.